As a short introduction, let me recall you that a usual bread can be regarded as a movie of n particles dancing in a disk, or a movie of n German people dancing somewhere, like in the movie of Esther, so of n points in the disk. And so with this picture in mind, it is we would like to generalize. There is a natural generalization of this to from the disk to any surfaces. So here I will replace the disk with a surface sigma, which will be assumed to be oriented and compact. Okay, so Bn of sigma will be the bread group of n strand on sigma, so the group made of movies of n points on the surface sigma. And so when we see the time as an additional space coordinate, so such a bread can be represented like this. So there is from t equals 0 to t equals 1. Strands here, but like points are in the surface sigma, like this. And also, if we do not require the strands to be strictly increasing, this leads us to the definition of surface knots or surface tangles. So there is also surface knots or tangles. So tangles lying in the surface sigma times interval. So okay. So now I don't really know how this surface generalization fits in Dror's general picture of this master class, that is UVW times topology, combinatorics, low and high algebra. So maybe I would be tempted to think of this surface generalization as an extra dimension in this picture. So like, it's no longer an array, but it's a cube. But well, actually, I don't know if surface. I don't know if this area makes sense at all, because these objects are not really purely topological. But for sure, this or even if it makes sense, I don't know if it's interesting. But this for sure makes sense. So it is what I explained here. So this makes sense, and this is probably interesting. So I'm gonna talk about this column here, which is behind this array. And so my plan is the following. So first, I will say a little bit of topology. And since I'm not good at drawing things, this will be slides. And then some combinatorics and high algebra. And as Dror has said last week, when high algebra gets higher and higher, it ends up being in the usual case, at least, it becomes analysis. So at some point, it will become analysis. And at this point, I will focus on one case, so the case where the surface sigma is a torus. So, torus with a complex structure, so it will be the elliptic case. Okay, so that's my plan. So I will start with topology. So why start with... I've defined the objects from a topological point of view, but still I'm not done with topology, because this picture is not satisfying. In this picture, These pictures do not reflect the topology of the surface sigma. So what I will do in topology is introduce a way to represent knots or braids in such a sigma times interval. So it will be a kind of Rademeister theorem to overcome this problem of representation of braids in surfaces. And I will start with a combinatorial description of my surfaces. And this combinatorial description will be in terms of a so-called once-bordered fat graph. So what's a once-bordered fat graph? It's a thin surface, like the pink one, with a graph inside, such that the surface retracts on the graph. And of course, the surface is oriented, so the vertices of the graph are oriented by the orientation of the surface. And okay, once bordered means that there is only one boundary component, and also there is a distinguished vertex here, which is univalent, and the oriented edges, the outgoing oriented edge is called the tail of the fat graph. So this is not the same tail as before. And okay, so let me label the oriented edges. So when I speak about edge, it will always be oriented edges. And the tail is T. And the bar means same edge with opposite orientation. So X bar is same edge as X, except that the orientation is the opposite one. And so since the surface is once bordered, if you follow the boundary starting from the tail and follow the boundary according to the orientation, it will give a linear order on the set of oriented edges. So this is this order. You start from the tail, follow the boundary, you will pass through U and then V, and so on, until you come back by T bar. Okay, so now I will produce a closed surface from this fat graph. So I glue a big disk like this. Of course, the picture is not good because I glue the disk in order to close the surface. So all the boundary of the disk is glued to the boundary of the fat graph. And sigma gamma is this resulting closed surface. And then I will do something silly, because I will remove, so I've glued a big disk and I remove a small disk. So of course the resulting surface is the same as the fat graph. But well, I do this only because it's a better picture for the mind. So sigma gamma boundary is the same, is the surface. So the fat graph with the disk, and remove the small disk, little disk D. Okay. So now we have a base point on this surface. The base point P is here. And let me describe a map from the set of oriented edges of the fat graph to the fundamental group of this surface. So the map is as drawn here. So to any edge, to the edge U, you associate this mu of U. So this is a loop, because I don't need to specify how to connect the endpoints of this arrow to the base point P, because the complement of the fat graph is a disk. So this is a well-defined map. And
you follow an element of the fundamental group of the surface.
Yes.
Yeah. And so what do? I follow the unique path from the root to this edge.
Yes, that's it. So I connect D to the root and the edge. So there is only one way to connect. To connect P to the root and the edge, and then so mu of U is just the unique loop which crosses U like this. So with this orientation, and so you may know that there are some relations with this map mu. For example, if you look at an edge like this, x, so mu of x times mu of x bar, so this is x bar, is the identity, is 1, because this loop is trivial. So this is an edge relation. And at the level of at each vertex of the fat graph like this, so with edges E1, E2, E3, etc., we have also such kind of relation. If we draw this trivial loop, we get that the product mu of E1 times mu of E2, so, and so on up to mu of EK, say, is 1. So this is a vertex relation.
Yes, I guess that's what we call the pi 1 marking.
Yes, that's it. And well, there is a last interesting. There is another interesting relation. It's mu of T. So mu of the tail is just the boundary of the small disk D. So mu of the tail is boundary of D. So this is tail relation. Okay. So now, in fact, I will switch to the world of framed objects, framed knots and framed links. So I need a kind of framed fundamental group. So the framed fundamental group of the surface is the fundamental group of the unique tangent bundle of the surface. So it's just a loop with some tangent vector on it. And there is also a map from the, so there is a well-defined map from the edge of gamma to this framed fundamental group, so which is a lift of mu. So I will not give details of this construction, but what we have, so if no, so in this fundamental group of the, so in this world of framed paths, so there is a central element which is the constant path with tangent vector turning once around the constant path. So this is just a twist. So I will call it a twist. And well, once we do this construction, we find out that these relations are a little bit changed. So there are additional twists here. So we have a twist here, and also here we have a twist times twist to the minus 2. Okay, so, but this is the same idea as the drawings here. Okay, so now please remember that this small disk is a green color, because I will introduce something new. So this is notion of big diagram. And this big diagram is attempt to represent a tangle in our surface cylinder. So it looks like an ordinary diagram, except that there are some beaks on the left-hand side only, which are labeled with edges of our fixed fat graph, gamma. And so maybe you have guessed how, from a big diagram, how to get a surface tangle. So this is the small disk D, which was drawn in green, colored in green. And then to each beak, I associate a path in the surface whose homotopy class is mu bar of the corresponding edge. Okay, so this is a construction from, so this gives a map from the big diagrams, so diagrams with beaks, to knots or everything in the secant surface. So now I'm just going to describe the relations, so the kernel of this map. So of course this map generalizes the usual projection of knots. So in the kernel, there are the well-known Rhine-Meister moves, but there are also other kind of moves involving the beaks of the diagrams. So there, there are the T moves for topology, and these three moves are just the diagrammatic analogs of the three these three relations at the level of the fundamental of the framed fundamental group. Okay, and so the tail, the beak labeled with the tail, go around a bunch of strands here, because when you look at this relation, you see that the tail is the boundary of the disk, but inside the disk, there may be some strands like this. Okay, so a family of relations, and another family of the last family of relations is the S move. So S stands for slide. So this kind of move describes what happens when two beaks slide like this. So two beaks can slide and exchange their height. And here there are some crossing, and these crossings may be negative or positive, and it depends on the combinatorial information on the edges x and y on the in the fat graph. So remember that the edges of the fat graph are linearly ordered. And my convention while drawing this picture here is that when I have a crossing like this, labeled with XY, so each strand of the crossing is labeled with something. Well, it is the strand Y is the upper strand if and only if Y is bigger than larger than X. And in the opposite case, it is the opposite kind of crossing. Okay, and this move here, says what happened when a beak is twisted like this. So when a beak is twisted, we label it with the inverse, and there is also a crossing which appear and which may different, which may be positive or negative, according to x and x bar in the graph, in the fat graph. Okay, so that's all with topology. So that was just so maybe I have to write it. So the theorem. So big diagrams quotiented by this move. So Rademeister topology and slide move are in one-to-one correspondence with knotted objects in the surface cylinder. So this is an analog of Rademeister theorem. Okay, so now I will speak a little bit about combinatorics and high algebra, but I need to roll up the screen.
Turn off the screen?
Yes.
So there is a little monitor below.
Turn off. Yeah. Thank you. So how does combinatorics arise? So recall that when you start from topology, there is a, if you define a filtration on the knotted object, so there is a kind of functor that draw called gr, and which take the quotient of this filtration and maps to something which is combinatorial. So we have seen, for example, in the usual case, so the case of usual knots, there is a Vasiliev filtration here. So, and so recall what is the Vasiliev filtration. So if K is a span of knotted objects, so there is a filtration. Okay, K. Maybe I should call it V because it's Vasiliev. And here, V to the M is a subspace of the span of knots. which corresponds to m's singular knot. And where you remember that a knot with singular points is seen as a linear combination of knots following this this rule. So singular equals positive minus negative crossing. Okay, so this filtration of, on the space of knot can be applied to the knots in the surface cylinder. So here likewise you can define a filtration so on the space of knots on the surface. So let me write it denoted by K indice sigma. And let's have a look to the finite type invariants with respect to this filtration. So what are, for example, the degrees zero finite type invariants? So the space of the degree zero invariants is the space of invariants which vanishes on this V1. So it's this dual space. And if so, if the invariant vanishes on V1, this means that we can always switch the crossings from over to under. But if you start from a knot which is embedded in the surface cylinder, no matter how many times you go through singular crossings and you switch the signs of the crossing, the homotopy of the homotopy class of the knot will always be preserved. And in fact, that the degree zero invariants are exactly the invariants which detect the homotopy class of the knot. So it's just k, I mean c pi 1 of the surface. So in general, if the surface is not a disk, this is an infinite dimensional space. So
do you have a base point?
Yes, because...
So all knots are required to go through the base point.
Yeah, so maybe I should write this is the homotopy classes of loops with no base points.
Yeah, so it's conjugacy classes.
Yeah, that's it. So how do you write conjugacy? I don't know. Okay, so conjugacy classes. Yeah, right. But still, it's infinite dimensional, and this means that, with this, this is a big difference with the usual case, the disk case. And this means that we cannot use the same recipe as before. For example, try to construct universal finite type invariants with the monodromy of some flat connection on the configuration space of the surface. So infinite dimensional. And more generally, there is there is the same kind of things happen that Dror has told us on the previous talk. So, in fact, there is no finite type universal finite type invariants for knots or breadth in this for breadth with respect to this Vassiliev filtration, which is also multiplicative. So there is no. Let me write it correctly because there is no multiplicative. Expansion or finite universal finite type invariant of breadth on surfaces which is different from the disk. And okay, of these two words are if you remove these two, this fact is no longer true. So there is. So as before, there is a universal finite type invariant for breadth on the surface, which has been constructed by Gonzalez Meneses on Luis Paris Menezes. But this invariant, so it's a universal finite type invariant of rest, but is not multiplicative. Likewise, there is also one can define a universal finite type invariant of not edge objects which are not bred, so for links, for example, which is multiplicative, but this invariant do not extend to bred. So this is, for example, Anderson, Mattes, Rochetikin. Invariant. Okay. So we would like to construct a multiplicative universal finite invariant of breadth on the surface. So we need another filtration in order to be able to do this. And recall that on the first week, Dror has told us that there is another filtration which kind of coincides with the usual Vasiliev filtration in the case of knots in R3. And this filtration can be described in several languages, and Dror has mentioned the word bracelet, so Gusarov's bracelet filtration. And the same filtration can be described using the language of class pairs of Habilo. So let me recall what is this filtration. So what is a bracelet is something like this picture. So M bracelet is made of M rings and M joints joining the rings. So M bracelet. And so the Gusarov bracelet filtration is the filtration corresponding to the space of the first space is the space of zero bracelet, okay, and then one bracelet and two bracelets, etc., and so on. So this is the space of M bracelet, where a bracelet is seen as is seen as a linear combination of usual knots. So the construction is as follows. So assume that you have an embedded bracelet. So each side of the ring comes with a sign, so plus and minus. And then you assign to this embedded bracelet the sum of all the possibilities of constructing knots from this bracelet. That is, at each ring you choose one of the paths. So some 2 to the n possibilities with signs of this sub embeddings like this, okay? And now, since the rings may not bound the disk, but can be everywhere on the surface, like the different pace, like for example, a ring may be like this on the torus. So it is more or less clear that the degree zero invariant with respect to these filtrations are now trivial. Okay, so what is the space of knots in the surface quotiented by G1? So if you allow this kind of move, so go from one pass to another alternative pass, And since the paths may have different homotopy classes in the surface, maybe anywhere on the surface, so this is trivial. So this is just C times the trivial knot. And this is a filtration I'm going to consider now. This is the bracelet filtration. So we can define the notion of finite type invariant with respect to this filtration, and the space of degree n finite type invariants for this filtration is this time is finite dimensional. Okay, so I guess I have no time for a proof, but next step is next step of combinatorics is to define the corresponding space of chord diagrams. So this is some kind of chord diagrams which are called symplectic chord diagrams. So okay, so recall that we have a surface sigma, and let H of sigma be the first homology group of this surface. And I also consider the intersection pairing. So this will be the intersection pairing. Okay, so a symplectic chord diagram is a chord diagram like this, which looks like the usual chord diagrams, except that there are some univalent vertices which are labeled with elements of the homology of the surface. So X and Y, where X and Y are in the homology of the surface. And we also require this univalent vertices to be linearly ordered. So here, for example, X is larger than Y. So usually these univalent vertices will be on the left side, and they will be ordered with by their heights. So if you remember the picture of a big diagrams, you may so remember that a chord is a kind of infinitesimal crossing, and so this kind of chord labeled with X will be some kinds of infinitesimal bigs, because a big diagram is made of crossings on bigs. So I will make a more precise statement, but first let me make first the precise definition of the chord diagram. So the chord diagrams will be the space of chord diagrams I will denote by A sigma, so the space of symplectic chord diagrams. This is the span of such kind of diagrams. So I want it to be graded. So the degree of a diagram is defined to be the number of internal vertex. So these two are external vertices. And here, for example, the degree is 6. So the degree is number of internal vertices. So here it is, the degree of this diagram is 6. So A of sigma is this space of diagrams mod out by, so maybe I need more room, quotiented mod out by, so the usual 4T relation. But there is an additional relation which involves the external vertices, and this additional relation is called STU-like. Okay, so let me write what is this relation STU-like. It looks like a STU, hence its name. So this relation says what happens when we switch the heights of switch the order of two external vertices. So STU-like is this relation. X, Y minus So the same with switch the order, so yx equals the intersection form of x and y times the diagram which is obtained by connecting these two points. So I draw it like this. And this may be sort of as the infinitesimal version of the sliding moves that were on the screen before, the sliding move which were exchanging the height of two bits. And so now let's state the more precisely what I mean by infinitesimal things. So the claim is that, so I have no time to prove it, so I will not prove it, but claim is that if we are given a degree M or type N Gusarov invariant, then we can construct a weight system for the degree M symplectic Jacobi diagram. So there is a map from degree M or type N Gusarov finite type invariant. So finite type invariants in the world of the in the setting of Gusarov filtration from to the weight system of degree n core diagram, so this, and I put a n here to mean that it's degree n. And how is this map defined? So if you start from G, a Gusarov finite type invariant, how do you construct a weight system? So for example, if you are given this invariant on this, let's say this diagram with x and y, then this functional is obtained by evaluating the invariant G on this degree, so in this case degree k, degree 4 knot, so this, the following knot, which the following bracelet. So here is a ring which run in the surface but with a homology class x, and here a ring with homology class y like this. And then here I will put two rings like this. Okay, so it's not obvious, but this is well defined. And I wanted to make some comment about the degree problem, but I don't know if how much time do I have? When can I stop? Because I
have a few more minutes, so
so maybe yeah.
So just summarize.
Okay, I will summarize. So yeah, there was a third section when I wanted to talk about high algebra, but I guess I don't have time to do so. So what can I do? Yes, maybe I can make another statement, so maybe a theorem. So I'm sorry, it's very messy because I have to skip a lot of details. The theorem is as follows. It says that in the world of surface knotted objects, tangles are as easy as braids. So what do I mean by this? I mean that if I have, if I'm given a universal finite type invariance for breadth with respect to the Gusarov filtration, so Z universal finite type invariance for, okay, let's say parenthesis breadth in the algebraic context, parenthesis breadth but on the surface, to the category of chord diagrams, Jacobi chord diagrams, with horizontal chords. If I'm given this, this which extends the usual Kontsevich integral, so if this extends the usual Kontsevich integral of breadth, so breadth in the disk, then and if extends this and behaves well with respect to some operation which are like the operation the DIs and the SIs that Dror has been talking about last week, so we call DIs and SI as the DIs as a doubling of strands. Doubling of strands, and the SIs are the operation which removes the ice strand. Oh, just one more remark is that in this case of surfaces, so recall that in the case of the disk, there is a well-defined operation D0, which so if you have bread like this, D0 adds a vertical strand on the left, and Dn+1 adds a vertical strand on the right. But here in this world, there is no such operations because, because this operation has no meaning because the surface is closed. So, for example, I don't know. If you look at big diagrams, there are some bigs here. So you cannot decide whether to put this additional strand behind or below the bigs. So there are no such operation. But if Z behaves well, so that means preserves this doubling operation well with respect to the DIs and the SIs, then Z automatically extends to a universal finitely invariance of tangles. So this is a universal finitely invariance of breadth. But
does Z exist, first of all?
Sorry? Sorry, I did not write the conclusion. So then, D extends to automatically to an invariant of tangles, so of knotted objects, any knotted objects, to the space of symplectic Jacobi diagrams. And it's the naive extension, that is any tangle in the surface can be written, can be decomposed into slices of breadth in the surface and slices of tangles in a disk. All the cups and the caps can be put in a disk. And so with this this composition, composing this one and the usual Kontsevich integral, you get an invariant which is well defined. And this is not obvious, but this can be shown using the RST moves on big diagrams.
But the question was, does there exist such a Z to start with?
Ah, okay. So that was my last part. And yes, there exists. In fact, for any genus, for any surface, any closed surface, but I was working on the elliptic case, so on the case where genus is one, and in this case there is elliptic analog of the Kesey equation. So you start from an elliptic curve, you define a connection on this space of configurations of endpoints on the elliptic curve. So the elliptic curve depends on a parameter, on an elliptic parameter on the Poincaré upper half plane. So. And you can compute the monodromy of this connection, and this gives you an invariant of breadth. And then the theorem said that it extends to an invariant of tangles or knots in the torus.
So I thought you said any genus. Sorry.
Yes, but because Benjamin Henriquez has also a paper on higher genus connections, flat connections on of configuration spaces. But I've not worked on it.
Is the technique saying that it's an iterated integral?
Yes, it's an iterated integral, and there is also so this is analytic. This is analytic work, but this can be also algebraized. So there are also a notion of elliptic associators and elliptic associators. So if you algebraize this, you have parenthesized parenthesized tangles in parenthesized breads in for example in the torus. So they can be represented by parenthesized big diagrams and elliptic associator is the new part. So this, what will be the value of this? And this will be given by some element in the elliptic diagrams of two strands. So, for example, if you have if you have x in the elliptic curve like this. X. So what will be the Kontsevich integral of this this big? So it is given. So there are a theory of elliptic associators, which allows us to so elliptic associators satisfy some axioms. And if you are given an elliptic associator, then you can algebraically construct an elliptic Kontsevich integral. But for in order to construct one, you need an elliptic KZ equation. It's just like in the case of usual knots.
Finite presentation of, I guess, a surface braid group that you wrote down in the beginning?
Well, in fact, my RST moves are all surface braids move except one. In fact, there was. So the ST moves on big diagrams are braid moves except one, which was like this. So when you twist. You twist a beak, and this is not a braid move. So this, the RST theorem is more than just a presentation of braids in surface. But when I restrict to the braid moves, I find some known presentation of the surface braid groups, which has been given by Bellingeri. So this theorem can be used to reprove Bellingeri presentation of surface braid groups. Yeah. Yes.
That such as
the existence. Yeah, but you need to work in the setting of the Gusarov filtration, so which is a more coarser filtration. But still, it's not. This filtration is not so bad because, for example, as in the case of usual bread, you can show that this universal invariant of breads separates breads as well as the Drawer has said for the usual one. So. Okay, so this is universal finitive invariant for a coarser filtration, but still it's a very this invariant is it's also separates knots because it is known that this invariant separates braids, surface braids.
Is there a low algebra for that? So is this due to any class of Lie algebras? If I wanted to construct a weight system, what algebraic information do I need?
I know there is one, but
there is no, but I mean,
yeah, there is one, but it's related to Cheredmik algebra. So you need a Hecke, affine Hecke algebra. Or it's well. I've not worked on this, but you can find it some construction of maybe not explicitly, but at least implicitly in Enrique's papers. So the paper where he introduced this connection, this elliptic connection. So, but I think the input is more than just a Lie algebra. It's way more complicated than for U or V or W knots, I think. I cannot state it precisely, I'm sorry.
Is there a PQM directly behind all these things? Because Dror also had a that section as well.
Yeah, there should be one, but probably there is a TQFT, but I've not worked on it, so I don't know.
So you see, any questions that Philippe doesn't answer is good news from the perspective of everybody else, right? But because it means things that we can do. So thank you.
I wanted to ask, we went away from the Vasiliev filtration, and well, at least the Vasiliev filtration was sort of very good and compatible with expansion and transcendence theory.
Yeah.
And so, can you say something about this one and its virtues?
Of this filtration?
Yeah.
So, but for example, for this coincide with the iadic filtration of the braids, of the surface braids. So that's why I've said that this invariant separate braids, because the intersection of all the pores of the augmentation ideal is zero. So yeah, I think the algebraic side of this filtration is that it I think it's not known if it coincides with the iadic filtration, but at least there is an inclusion of the iadic filtration is included in this filtration, which is not. But I think it's maybe not trivial to show that this is the same.
And there was also some work where one had univalent vertices labeled by homology already.
Yes. Yes, but for example, in Habilo's work, so in his first paper on class pairs, there is some diagrams which looks like this, except that he studies, he doesn't study not in surfaces, but homology, cobordisms.
Well, there is also something that's much more closely related, which I would think is Mathieu's work.
Ah, yeah, yes, yeah. Well, it was my advisor, so he was my advisor.
And what's the relation to his work?
Yeah.
Besides from the diagrams looking the same.
Yeah, I think his work was a kind of continuation. He's more on the LMO side, so yeah, his work was kind of continuation of Habilo's statements in his first paper on Caspers. So yeah, Mathieu's diagrams are almost the same, except they are not attached to one-dimensional manifold.
So I think we should thank Philippe because it's out of sequence. And it's a long day today, and in 20 minutes begins movie night, which is not a formal part, but it's movies. I mean, how can you skip that?
Is it supposed to be filmed?
What?
Supposed to be filled?
No, definitely not. It would be pointless.